Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
There are various halls of fame, but there's only one insurance fraud hall of shame. And believe me, it's not a recognition welcomed by its members. We're going to discuss the Insurance Fraud Hall of Shame. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He is the Director of Communications with the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. Jim, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. It's great to be here.
Yes, and we've done programs in the past, and I've always enjoyed them. So this is going to be very interesting for our listeners because they really need to know. And the cost of insurance fraud is what? Something like $80 billion a year. And that comes out of our pockets, Jim. No matter if the insurance companies end up paying it, still comes out of our pockets.
Oh, insurance fraud is huge. It drains your life savings. People are killed and maimed. They suffer depression and despair when they've been scammed. That can last a lifetime. They even lose their lives. This is serious business.
It is serious business, and the crooks take it very seriously, and they're very adept at defrauding consumers. Let's look at some of the areas where you all have nominated these people, who I believe all of them have either been convicted or in the process of being tried for their crimes. Is that correct?
The shamers have all been convicted or had other legal closure in 2015.
Okay. Well, let's take the look at what you very... I love the titles. The Burning Desire. And this had to do with Mark Leonard with an insurance fraud that he tried to perpetrate on his Indianapolis home. Tell me about it.
Well, these are the extreme schemers of 2015, the reprobates, the miscreants, and knuckleheads who really distinguished themselves for their adroitness or maladroitness for the year. Now, Mark Leonard was a real work of art. He wanted to burn down his house for insurance money because he was deeply in debt. He rigged a timer to a microwave that was going to set off natural gas lines that he'd opened up in his house. And instead of simply setting a fire, it blew up the house like a drone strike. The fire blew the house to smithereens. It shattered. It sent up shockwaves throughout the entire subdivision of Indianapolis. Blew up the next-door neighbor's house, killed both of the neighbors, caused $5 million of damage, and ruined at least 80 houses.
My gracious. And I take it he had left the premises when this occurred.
Well, he was out gambling at a casino to create an alibi.
That is so incredible that people can do things like that. Has he been tried for murder, I hope?
He's got life without parole.
Oh, goody.
You kill two people and blow up a neighborhood, that's not laughing business.
No.
And the court took that very seriously.
And this was Mark Leonard. May you rest in peace in your jail cell. I'm also intrigued at how people do things like the woman who, what you call the puppy plot. Tell us about the puppy plot and Gloria Lee.
Well, Gloria Lee owned a puppy store in Las Vegas. It was losing money. She declared bankruptcy. She was in trouble. So she decided to burn down the place and the puppies in their cages for insurance money. So she and her boyfriend, who she was having an affair with, snuck into the store, spread gasoline around the place, and set it on fire. These poor puppies were cringing in their cages, just waiting to get roasted alive, and Gloria didn't care. She just wanted insurance money.
But the dogs were saved.
She was a knucklehead. Gloria Lee screwed this up. She forgot that she had security cameras that caught her and her boyfriend in the act, in flagrante. And she also forgot she had sprinklers. They went off and helped put the fire out.
She really is a knucklehead. She's not even a good criminal. I mean, there is no such thing as a good criminal, but I mean an accomplished criminal. Let's put it that way.
She was malicious, but not very adept, and she paid a price.
Oh, my God. Those puppies were rescued. That's...
All the puppies survived, and so happy ending. They're being adopted.
I'm sure they were. People would probably rush right out and get them after what they went through. That is incredible. Incredible. Well, one of your next members of the Insurance Hall of Shame is what you call dollars and dents. And you and I have talked about this before, how this goes on all over the country. It's nothing new, but There's a practitioner in New York whom I gather made a ton of money with this scheme. So tell us about it.
Car premiums in New York are among the highest in the nation, especially in New York City. Now, why is that? Staged crash gangs are one of the big reasons. They are looting insurance companies who are passing the cost over to honest drivers and higher premiums. Mikhail Zemelyansky, a Russian-American, had a Russian gang, the biggest in no-fault insurance history, looted $275 million in fake injury claims from setup crashes and phantom crashes in the New York City area. Big-time operator.
But that doesn't just happen in New York. It happens here in the Washington, D.C. area, too, because you and I have described it and talked about it. Let's just alert our consumers, because it could happen to you right here. What are some of the signs that you might be about to be the victim of a staged crash?
You're driving along peacefully. A car pulls up in front of you and starts tailing you. Then suddenly it speeds up. Pulls in front of you, jams on its brakes, creating an unfortunate rear ender. Looks like it's your fault. It's not. You were set up. Watch out for cars that seem to be tailing you. Never tailgate, because they might be setting you up for a collision. They all could pretend that they're injured. Big claims against your insurance policy. Your rates go up. Not happy.
And of course, generally, there's doctors who've been bribed into participating in the scheme, right? They're the ones that make the false diagnosis of injury, and then that goes against your insurance.
Well, first of all, people have been killed in stage accidents.
Oh, wow.
When they were set up and they went wrong. So be careful. But yes, crooked doctors, crooked lawyers are all in on this. They're helping set up fake claims and then trying to extort large settlements out of insurance companies to prevent the expense of lawsuits.
Wow. It is totally amazing. Now, some of the advice that I know that we've given drivers in the past, as you've said, don't be lured into this kind of trap. Be careful for cars that are coming out of alleys that suddenly run right into you, right? That can happen.
Or
pull
head
right
on
out
parking
in front of
spaces.
You. Yeah.
You're trying to pull out of a horizontal parking space.
Ah.
A friendly driver stops, seems to wave you out of your parking space. The moment you pull out, he pulls in front of you. You T-bone him. It's a setup crash. He pretends he's injured. You're in trouble.
Oh, my gracious. I cannot believe what people will do. But this guy in New York, he made a fortune. I hope they're all locked up.
Zemelyansky, it was a Russian gang, basically. They made a fortune. You know, he had luxury houses, fancy cars, women,
with
gambled.
All that money, no wonder. No wonder. Well, the man was, he was an adept criminal, I hate to say it. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. And we're talking about the Coalition's Insurance Fraud Hall of Shame. And let's get on to the spineless spinal, the doctor committing fraud.
Well, Dr. Arya Sabit was a spine surgeon, and he made a fortune too, $32 million. What was he doing? He was opening up people on the operating table who had perfectly healthy spines, did nothing, just closed them up and pretended he'd done surgery.
So these people ended up having needless surgery. In many cases, they were injured. Their insurance put out millions of dollars. I mean, that's really awful.
Well, these were, some cases, worthless spinal fusion surgeries that people didn't need. It didn't matter. These people were pieces, were slabs of meat to him. Just open them up, operate. Often he screwed up the surgery. These people were disfigured and maimed in constant pain. They couldn't function because the surgeries, in some cases, were so lousy. So this is the guy who didn't care about his patients. He
At
cared
all.
About his income.
He forgot about his oath. Well, then there was the attorney, Stephen Kravitz.
Yes.
He wasn't exactly a nice guy either.
No, he was a personal injury attorney. People came to him. He promised that he'd take care of their insurance settlements. They would be made whole again from the insurance money. Instead, he stole their money, lied that he tried to hold them off with excuses. These people were depending on this for their medical treatment, for their financial future. In some cases, they're left nearly destitute because he stole their money.
Now, how do you protect yourself against a lawyer who's gone bad? The doctor also, and there, I always recommend people, if they are seriously considering having a surgery, something like working on your spine, get a second opinion, right? Okay, with the lawyer, you're not going to have a chance for a second opinion because the lawyer is supposed to be it. So I guess what you have to do, if you're the one who's filing an insurance claim, make sure that the money, call the insurance company. You were telling me before we went on the air what these people should do who are the victims of Kravitz. What should they do?
Well, I know you're injured and you're helpless in many cases. You're desperate. You rely on your lawyer. But rise above that if you can. Contact the insurance company and make sure that you know whether the settlement has been mailed or not, how much it's going to be, when is it expected. Know the same details that the lawyer should have so you can talk to the lawyer and say, okay, where's my money? It was promised, and here's how much I'm expecting.
Well, now, in this case, can consumers ask the insurance company to mail the checks to them, not to the attorney?
Well, sure. It's your money.
It's your money, so you should be able to. And then the lawyer, you can pay them. But
you know,
in this case,
fee.
He was not giving the money to his client.
Yeah. When the lawyer's theoretically providing a service, he's taking care of all the details, helping
right.
with your medical bills. So there is a service. Sometimes it often is good to have your lawyer handle all this and have the money
mm-hmm.
to do it. But know what's coming from your insurance company first.
Yeah, make certain, because especially if they start putting you off and telling you the payments haven't arrived and blah, 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 don't believe it. So anyway, that's the way. All right. Unhealthy health plans.
Yes.
Some of those are, and they've been around for a long time, but we're seeing more of them now, I gather.
Well,
or less.
William Worthy was the king of fake health plans. He was one of the biggest of the biggest. 17,000 people bought fake health insurance from William Worthy. He promised low-cost policies, great benefits. You know, what's not to like about that? Slick marketing material, great smooth-talking hucksters who convinced people, in many cases, boiler room phone calls. People were suckered. They believed
it. Yeah. Now, how do you protect yourself against something like this, Jim? Because you don't really know if you've got coverage until you need it. I mean, really, how would a consumer go about, let's say I subscribe to William Worthy's insurance, health insurance plan. How do I know whether it's legit or not until I need it?
Well, these people are scared of regulators, state regulators.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get licensed. They don't get their plans licensed or themselves licensed as a salesperson.
So he would not have a license to do business in the state, for one thing.
And certainly his plan may not be registered with the state.
Uh-huh.
Call,
okay.
If you see a deal that looks really incredible, it's below any price you've seen before,
mm-hmm.
call
mm-hmm.
the state insurance department and find out, is this guy real? Does he have a history of complaints?
Good
is
point.
The plan licensed? Are his salespeople licensed in the state?
Mm-hmm.
You have to know this, because those are some of the first telltale signs.
Now, would he be representing supposedly legitimate insurance companies? Would he be selling health plans for companies whose names you recognize? And that's why, but he just doesn't make the payments? We've heard of that kind of scheme, too.
Well, they sometimes lie that they represent a mainstream insurance company. Usually, however, they say they represent a health plan.
Mm-hmm. So they tell you the details of the plan. It sounds really good, and you think, I can afford that, so I'm going to buy it.
Well, yeah, they say, okay, join this association.
Mm-hmm, and save money on your health bill. Yeah, right.
Group health, low discount prices, that's what seems legit.
Mm-hmm,
but then,
mm-hmm.
of course, the association is fake, just like the health plan. It's all part of the con.
So the big thing here is that the consumer really has to do some due diligence. You can't just accept any of these plans. It's like you talked about with the insurance, the lawyer who is taking people's insurance claims and pocketing them, never passing them on. Then the same kind of thing could be true here, checking out the plan. Well, would it also be reasonable to say contact a hospital, the local hospital that you would be using if you have an emergency, and see if they accept this plan? Would they tell you that?
Well, certainly that's a strong possibility. If you had the foresight to think in advance.
Yeah, right, before you ever sign up for it.
But don't take your hospital's word for it. Sometimes
they don't know.
They're not checking closely enough, and then you go in, you get operated on. Only then does the hospital discover that this plan isn't for real.
Well, we were talking before we went on the air about consumers who are finding themselves out of the plan where they've used a provider that was not covered with their insurance plan. Now, this is legitimate insurance companies, but it's kind of it's not really a scam. So we can't talk about them as though they're part of the Insurance Hall of Fame, because they aren't. But this can happen to you if you use a provider that's not covered by your plan, right?
Well, certainly out-of-network arrangements can be scams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because sometimes you have illegal kickbacks.
Yeah.
These people are getting paid for these kinds of referrals. So,
it can be a scam. Okay. All right. Well, let's just take a brief pause here and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. You know, we're talking about some mind-blowing things here. Okay, let's go back to your hall of shame, your extreme cases, extreme police raid. This was a police officer, for God's sake.
Well, this is another master of disaster. Jose Urena was an NYPD cop sworn to uphold the law. Instead, he made a serial habit of breaking it. He kept buying Mercedeses. On his salary.
He couldn't afford them.
He had too many debts. He was in over his head. He kept buying them, and he kept on discovering, I can't afford these things. So what would he do? He'd burn them. He'd have people drive them away and lie that they were stolen. Then he'd turn around and get another Mercedes. You know, what's this guy thinking?
Yeah.
It kept happening.
Don't you think there's some short circuit in people's brains that— think like this? I mean, you know, one of the things, these people make tons of money, some of them. He didn't, obviously, because he was just using it to pay off his debts on the Mercedes, I guess.
Well, he's a cop. He's not getting rich being a cop.
No. But that doesn't excuse him, and there's no reason to do something like that. And just think, there again, he's causing your car insurance rates to go up because of claims against the company.
Well,
just like the crash, the
dollars and dents, yes.
Dollars and dents. Oh, my gosh. And that is so prevalent. I mean, that's just not in New York City, as we talked about it. All right. And then there was the guy who decided he was dead.
Jose Lantigua. Yes, he lived in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
Nice idea. Fake your death. And scarf a lot of life insurance money and then disappear with your wife living in the mountains. Good start. He bribed Venezuelan doctors and other officials to declare him dead in Venezuela. Got fake death certificates. Got the whole schmear set up really nicely. Except he had no idea how to disguise himself. He stole somebody's identity. Okay, again, another good step. Except that he was white, and the guy whose identity he stole was black.
Just one little detail there that might just kind of throw a kink into your scheme. Oh my Lord!
Yeah, and he hid in the mountains, but he had a beard and a wig. It was a lousy dye job, easy to discover. I mean, the guy was obviously disguising himself. He was the absolute knucklehead of personal disguises and identity theft.
I'm glad they're knuckleheads. At least they get caught. Keep us from doing something to somebody else. But he stole something like, what, $9 million in life insurance?
Yeah. He received a lot of it. He didn't get away with all of it.
Okay.
But received enough to live happily ever after.
Not.
Not.
Not. We're glad about it.
At least not
that.
Anymore.
Well, I think the most gruesome one is the one that I've saved for the last, the deadly life insurance. This is, to me, is just, you can damage a car, you can wreck cars, But tell us about this one. This one, to me, is just a hideous crime.
Well, this is where insurance fraud gets very dark and very malicious.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Collins lived in Minneapolis, deeply in debt, no job, no income sources, supported a lot of kids from various marriages. So he saw his little son, Barway, was his way out of debt. He basically hit Barway, killed him, duct taped his body, and dumped him unceremoniously in a river.
God.
And he, you know, Barway loved his dad. He really looked up to his dad. And so he killed the poor little guy for a ton of, hopefully, you know, for just $50,000 in life insurance.
Good
That's
Lord.
Not much money.
To sacrifice your child for that amount of money, there's something really haywire in that person's mind.
Well, I mean, Collins went on TV saying, oh, this is terrible, my poor son. He was a great con job for the media.
So he goes out to the public and says, my son is missing. What's happened to him? Is this the kind of ploy that he used?
Oh, yeah, of course. And he was denying everything, of course. But then investigators found his cell phone records. He was talking any location near the river where Barway was found. What's he doing there for no apparent reason on the same day, same time his son apparently disappeared?
That is just mind-blowing. It really is. These other people, yes, but to take your own child and kill them. But we've had cases of spouses killing each other for insurance. That's not the first time. But your child, it just seems like there's something totally wrong. This man's mind is gone. I mean, he doesn't have any to begin with, I think.
Well, I mean, this is psychopathic behavior.
Absolutely. It's just really hideous. Well, they all are hideous, but I think that one just touched me a little bit more because it was a little boy that was a harmless little boy who just got in the way of his daddy and money, and it's horrible, horrible, horrible. Well, Jim, I tell you, you know, you probably wade through an awful lot of insurance claims and frauds to find these people, but it's so compelling because it helps people realize to put a human face on insurance fraud and the damage it does. I'm hoping that our listeners realize that insurance fraud is not a laughing matter. It is not something that, oh, well, I see a car insurance company, I'll take them for a few hundred dollars. That's a crime. It's a crime. There's no other way about it, right?
Absolutely. You know, insurance fraud is not just another harmless white-collar crime.
As is evidenced by the things that have happened to the people here.
So true, Shirley. There are victims, and they're very real victims.
Mm-hmm.
Could be your friends, next-door neighbor.
Right.
Could be you.
Right, right. And then the other thing that we do have to think about is the impact on the rest of the society, of the insurance industry, what it does to our rates. I mean, to have $80 billion siphoned out of the insurance industry by crooks, you know, that makes me really mad, Jim. It really does.
Shirley, I'm glad you're mad. Certainly, I'm mad, too.
That makes me very angry, just to think that I'm paying for these idiots. I mean, we all are, ultimately, because consumers, you have to pay the higher rates. So it comes back to us, right? Well, look. If people want to get in touch with you, your website is insurancefraud.org?
Insurancefraud.org. All the fraud news and features and information that you need to be a strong advocate against insurance fraud.
Well, and to make sure you're not a victim, because it can happen only too easily, as these cases indicate. Jim, thank you so much. Again, it's been a great pleasure to have you back on the program. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My guest has been Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. Their website is insurancefraud.org. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.